morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. I am thrilled to have you here this morning for our weekly Sunrise Project support group call. As always, we are a safe space for sharing and for being vulnerable and for learning and listening to one another, in an intention to heal ourselves and our children and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm so delighted to have Coach Beverly Kearney with us this morning. She is no stranger to the Sunrise Project. She has been here many times in the past. Beverly Kearney is affectionately known as Coach Bev. And she's one of those rare visionary stars who believes that greatness exists within everyone. Her passion and gift for coaching, consulting, and mentoring has inspired individuals and groups in various professions to achieve their greatest successes, including myself. I have been grateful to experience Bev in real life, as a mentor and a coach and a friend. Bev is recognized as one of the most successful coaches in NCAA history. She's been inducted into various halls of fame as a sports legend, including the prestigious International Women's Sports Hall of Fame. Her record of 7 national championships is one of the highest among Black and female coaches in the country. She was also honored with Dr. Maya Angelou, Stevie Wonder, and the Tuskegee Airmen by BET for the BET Legacy Award during Walk of Fame. She was also honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award from Auburn University, making only the second time in history that a woman has received that award and the first Black person in history to receive the award. Women's Day Magazine, let me admit a few more people. Women's Day Magazine has named her one of the 50 women on a mission, along with such notables as First Lady Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Angelina Jolie. She has also been honored as a great sports legend, joining other alumni legends such as Michael Jordan, Dean Smith, and Muhammad Ali. She has been a featured guest at the White House and served as head coach at the University of Texas and the University of Florida, the University of Tennessee, University of Toledo, and Indiana University, head coach or assistant coach or something major. The men and women she coached throughout her 30-year career stand out as some of America's best, with over 15 Olympians, several world, collegiate, and American record holders. Her many accolades do little justice to her ability to strategically and purposefully motivate, empower, and coach others to turn their goals into gold. Coach Bev's In Pursuit consulting services provide individuals and corporate team members with strategies to thrive in high-performing environments. I am so delighted to have you here with us, Coach Bev. Thank you for getting up early out there. I know it's 6 a.m. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Kelly. And it is 6 a.m. here, but we here.
We're here. We are here. We're here. Yes. I want to start by, some of your biggest accolades are in the sports world, clearly, and you are a legend in the world of track and field. And just last night or yesterday, depending on when we may have watched it, we experienced and observed some incredible athletes. In various sports, and in particular in track and field. And so, would love for you to share before we get into some of our parental journeys and conversations, share from your perspective, what it means to make it to the Olympics and how much pressure are on those men and women out there for that moment in time, that 10 seconds.
Well, all I can tell you guys is imagine that, when you're talking professional sports, it's every year there's a championship. When you're talking Olympic sports, you have to be on point on that day. And if you don't, it's 4 years later. So you're literally training 4 years for sometimes just less than 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what that sport is, it all comes with the same. I could not have imagined Simone Biles at the last Olympics compared to the Simone Biles that's here. And it's an industry that turns to you and can turn on you in the drop of a dime. So
Say
no matter
more.
what,
Say more
there's
about
a
that too, please. When you're finished with your thought,
I think that if you look at someone like Sha'Carri Richardson, and all the fiascos from the last Olympiad, and how people just went in not realizing she's just a kid. She
That's
was
right.
just a kid, freshman in college, who was handed a truckload of money, but not realizing there's a truckload of responsibility and expectations from the world. And it can be brutal because, unlike past generations of Olympians, people's opinions were kept at the kitchen table. Now opinions are splattered all over the world. And because you can, and within a second, it's someone's opinion. And most opinions are not of this one word right here. They're not from a place of love. You get some of the people who have some very hateful hearts giving their opinions. So that kind of leads me into what I think is the most critical component. I was just given a legacy award of the Women's Coaches Association. And I did a Q&A, and one of the questions they asked was, what do you think is the most powerful tool in coaching? And I think that tool, I think that anyone who doesn't coach, lead, parent, guide, whatever, from a place of love, you've already lost. Now, it ain't easy to love everyone. I promise you, is it? And I know that you know that. It really isn't easy, but it's required. If we're really walking in harmony with life and with our beliefs and within our spirit and within our soul, and if we really are seeking peace, if we're really seeking joy, if we're really seeking greatness, that all has to come from a place of love. And this is what I told them, which is what the advice I'll start with all of you on this call that have blessed us enough to be on this call this morning is, I tell people, I may not like what you do, but I love you. Let's not get those two confused. There's a book, Kelly, and that book is called, I believe I'm it's called The Hidden Powers of Water.
The hidden powers
And
of war,
of war water.
water, okay.
Water, yes. And he wanted to read the crystals of water, different types of waters. So he would try to freeze and then capture the intimate shot of the crystal in the water. And he was very successful at it. This is decades ago. And the one thing they did was they decided to do, just like we do with plants, they decided to have one set of water where they just said how just wonderful things, but the basic word was love. And he'd always tell the water, I love you. And then the other one, they called the water a fool. And they went back and they looked at the crystals between the two waters. The one that was filled with love was a fully formed crystal. And the one that was called a fool was broken crystals within the water. And then they had this bright idea, why don't we tape the word to the glasses with the word facing inside? And in one word, they put love, and in the next cup, they put, and then they froze and they tested the crystals. The crystals of love were still fully formed. The one with fools still did the same. They did the same thing with music. They played hard, aggressive music, and the crystals were not fully formed. And they did very loving music, and the crystals remain the same. The one of the things that people don't realize is, and it's what water can't read, water can't hear, water can't feel, but everything is energy.
Everything's energy, yeah.
And it could feel the energy that was put behind the word, which is why we get hurt when people say hurtful things, which is why we feel great when someone says something nice to us. But we're so locked into the negativity that even when someone compliments us, we're uncomfortable with the compliment. And so the one thing that I will tell everyone on here is I'm a coach and I believe in love, but I also believe in tough love. Sometimes you got to hold the line. And it's not always easy. And I want to tell you guys an Olympic story that may help with this whole component of where I'm going with this. So I had this athlete, and she was marginal, top of the line athlete, not extremely talented. And in fact, it got to a point where we started to call her the road runner because she just wouldn't quit working. Like she literally worked her heart out. She had come to me and said, "Please coach me. I have nothing. I've never won a national championship, but I want to be an Olympian, and I believe you can get me there." And so we went on this journey to get her in, get her qualified for the Olympics. And she qualified, and I kept telling her as we kept training, "You're not just going to be an Olympian, you're going to be the first Olympic finalist from America in the women's triple jump." And we'd get all hyped and everything else. And so she pulled a huge upset and won the Olympic trials. So now we're at the Olympic Games. It's the Olympic Games. When you walk into the stadium, you feel that energy. And it's like, it's an overwhelming, it's not the visual, it's just a feeling you get. It's not what you've seen, it's not anything else. It's you walk into that moment, the moment you walk into that stadium. And so I was just overwhelmed. And so we get to the Olympics and she's competing. And we've talked about you're going to become the first American to make the final in the Olympic Games in this event. She was the first one out. When I tell you she tanked, she tanked.
Oh no.
And we had put all of this hard work in, and I felt an overwhelming sense of guilt. And it takes about 40 minutes to an hour, believe it or not, for them to leave the internal stadium where they've competed and get back to the warm-up area because coaches aren't allowed in that area. So I'm sitting back there waiting for her, trying to figure out the best words for this horrible situation. She didn't make it. I feel like I failed her. I don't know how to react. And tears just start coming down my eyes. And the guilt and the weight just felt so overwhelming. And I said, "Okay, I see her coming." So I'm grabbing myself together. I'm like, "Girl, you got to get it together. You can't, she's going to need you. It's not about you. She's going to need you." This girl came back to the warm-up area and was so happy, like overjoyed. And she just hugged me, and tears came down her eyes. And she said, "Thank you for giving me this experience." And I'm hugging her back and I'm thinking, what the hell? We ain't feeling the same way. I'm crying tears of disappointment. She's crying tears of joy. They're all tears, but they're not the same. And after contemplating that night, because I had athletes competing the next day, contemplating that night, I didn't sleep. And about 3 in the morning, it dawned on me, oh my God, it was me saying we can make the final. Her consistent messaging was, I want to make the Olympic team.
Right, that was her goal.
That was her goal. That's where her energy went. That's where her passion went. And once she made that team, she was done. Because whatever goal you set emotionally, when you hit a high, when you hit it, and then you can't stay up there, so you slowly start to descend back into your normalcy. And it taught me something. It taught me to listen before speaking, really intently listen. And I never made that mistake again, not with an athlete and not with a non-athlete. And I see people all the time seeing all this thing we call potential, especially in our children. I told my daughter when she was in the one I've spoken with you guys about before, when she was in high school, I said, hey, she goes, Mom, I don't want to play basketball. I said, but hey, you're not just going to come home from school and be free. That's not what's going to happen. So either you play sports or you get a job. She said, okay. I'm thinking, I won. Surely any sane human being would choose to go play basketball rather than go work. What? My child came home the next day and said two things. Mom, I got a job. I don't believe it. She goes, yeah, I went and got a job after school. The next day, she had a job working at the ice cream parlor. Never worked retail, never had a job. She's a magnet for jobs. She chose what was most important for her. And sometimes we don't give them options to make choices. Because for me, her choice didn't make sense. For her, she's never looked back and been happier. And we have to really allow them to place their energy in places where they are most successful.
Right. And let their goal be
And
their
that's
goal.
hard. And let
Right.
their goal be their goal. And same thing that happens in athletes, same things that happen in life. Now, why are coaches struggling right now? Because they come from an older mindset that does not connect with this generation. What they feel is important, what the athlete should do, how to get them locked in, they're missing it. There are some that are catching it, but they don't. This is a generation of athletes that the more you get in their face and holler at them, the more they shut you out.
Right. Because of love, right? That's what you opened up with. That's what's on your hat. So, how do you show
Yeah.
that love and also push?
Listening. And
Listen.
I th my philosophy on that is a lot of times, and I'm gonna say something, and I hope it's taken in the vein that it's given. A lot of times we make it about us. When
Say it again.
a lot of times we make it about us, and it's absolutely not. The moment it becomes about you, you failed in that connection as a leader, and you have to reassess. This is going to make me look bad. This is making me feel bad. What did I do wrong? I made it about me. And when I stepped away from me, I realized I just simply didn't listen. And when we talked about those glasses of water, we talked about they used the word fool, but the intent was to show you the power of negativity because guilt, anger, frustration is all a negative energy, and it's going to attract to it negative energy. So when I'm in a place of joy, when I'm in a place of love, when I'm in a place of peace. And I will tell you this, I've always said, once love is present, hate is not possible. That's like going
Right there.
left and right at the same time. It can't happen. You have to cease love in order to hate. You have to stop going left in order to go right. And so, with me, even when there is tough love, let me pull all of this together by saying this: I love them enough to do what's right. I love them enough to do what's right. I love them enough to hold them accountable in the space for the visions they've created themselves. And once you tell me, and I really connect that you've connected with that goal, because that's important. Once we sit down and we have these sessions about what it is you want to achieve out of all of this, I tell them I'm locked in.
You tell the students or the young people that you're
I
working
tell the
with.
young people I'm locked into what you want to achieve. And I promise you one thing, I will not be the weak link in your journey, which means not only am I holding them accountable to the demands of the goal, but I'm also holding myself accountable and those within my grasp accountable for the goal. And that accountability sometimes doesn't look good and it doesn't feel well. And what we do is we begin to compromise because it's uncomfortable for them. It's uncomfortable for us. We get tired. No, if you're going to fail, you're going to fail knowing truth. If you're going to succeed, you're going to succeed because you adhere to the truth of the demands of what is being asked of you. And all of that can be done out of love.
And it's based on their
Now,
goal for themselves. And you
it's
said they.
based upon it's that time, and if they're in your home, you can start to feel it. Like I knew two things about my daughter. I knew she loved animals, but I knew she didn't like going to school, and she's been able to read since she was 3 years old. So she's extremely smart. So my initial push is, okay, when you graduate, you're going to college. Okay, when you graduate, you're going to college. And I told you, I want to regress 1 second because this is all going to tie in. When she told me, no, I got a job, she came back to me. She goes, Mom, we don't have much money. So please stop wasting money on workout clothes because I'm not working out. I said, okay, thank you. So now fast forward. I knew she didn't want to go to school, so I pushed her to go to college. By the second semester, after the first semester, I was in trouble. Encouraged her to go back. She decided she wanted to go into someplace that snows, so she went to northern Arizona. And when she came home for the summer, she goes, "We're not wasting no more money on me going to college. We're not taking out another loan, Mom. It's a waste of money, and I'm not going to waste your time and your money."
Good
I
for
said, "Well, can I
her.
see your grades?" She said, "I
Nope.
don't think you should do that. That ain't in your best interest."
Same thing happened over here with my
And now
child.
she is actually a master groomer, and she works at a veterinary clinic.
Amazing.
And after doing that for the last couple of years, the last 2 years, she's come to me this past year and says, "Oh, by the way, I think I'm going to enroll in the college so I can. I think I want to be an elementary school teacher and groom on the side." Like,
Amazing.
what? She's 24 now, and she's decided she's going to go back to school.
That's
She
awesome.
decided,
On
not
her
on the time
time,
that I had,
right?
but on her time. And I've had athletes think about Sha'Carri Richardson. She was giving hundreds of thousands of dollars right out of college. And when I tell you that little child tanked, because people think when you get a certain age or when you make a certain amount of money, same thing they thought with Cardi B and all the rest of them, that they should act accordingly. No, they have to grow into their moment. We are grown-ups looking back with experience. They are young people gaining experience.
That's right.
And unlike they weren't raised in the same environment, our environments are tough, different toughness for a reason. You can't coach athletes the same way you did before. All of that getting in their face, screaming at them, you'll break them. And that philosophy where people used to break people down to build them back up, even in counseling, that doesn't work. You may break to a point where they can't be fixed.
Or where they may start self-medicating. I'm speaking from,
Well,
personal
and that's
experience.
my point. That's my point. They're going to work on the symptoms as opposed to the challenge. And everybody learns at a different rate. I've had athletes that come in as freshmen, and by the time they're sophomores, they're Olympians. I've had athletes come, can't qualify for nationals as a freshman, can't qualify as a junior. I'm talking about can't even get to the track meet, the championship meet. And by their senior year, can be there. I've had athletes, it was their first time ever qualifying for nationals. They're now seniors and they win. And I don't believe in giving up on anyone at any time. I do believe in standing down until you're ready.
So I really want you to go there more because many of us as parents, I think the athlete analogy is really brilliant and helpful. And I'd love for you to bring in a, real life example with another real life example with Imani or even what you've experienced, me and Kyle. How do you allow the child, the young person, young adult, to really walk their own path without, and how do you show love, like you said earlier, how do you show constant love even if they're doing things you really don't like?
Even at the height of them being jerks, you have to hold your ground. That is not the time to appease, but it's not the time to attack. If the vessel top is closed, you can't pour in. And I have to step back because I had a habit of being passive aggressive. And I guess my mom used to call it in the old days, it was, oh, she nice nasty. Because I was being. It kind of reminds me, Kelly, I would do, reason I recognize the you and you is because I did that before. I was at Kelly's house. It's called the cake story. And I'm sitting there and Cal and I are talking, her son and I are talking, and he's BSing me. I know he's BSing, but I'm BSing him more than he's BSing me. So it makes a great conversation because I met him where he was. Okay, if we want to BS, we're going to BS, but I'm going to be dropping seeds within the midst of my BS with you. So in the middle of all of this, Kelly says, Cal, you want some cake? He goes, no. He says, Mom made it. You love her cake. So she goes to get the cake. She literally slams the cake in front of him. I knew immediately. Because he did want the cake. Now, don't get it twisted. He wanted it, but he was being defiant at the
Ornery
moment.
with me.
Yes, he wanted the cake. But once she slammed it down in front of him,
I didn't mean to.
an act of Congress couldn't have gotten that boy to eat that cake. She met his energy.
My energy was bad, and it just I was angry
She
and so
met his
upset.
energy with her energy and it escalated the negative
That's
energy.
right.
And so I had to learn, which I my lesson was her blessing because I said, Kelly, after he left, I said, Kelly, well, he was frustrating me because he wasn't being honest. I said, I know he wasn't, but I was filling him with seeds that we don't know when they're going to harvest. But they've been planted. Because there's a saying, and I don't know who the author is. I
That's
honestly don't. But it's that saying that says,
right.
they tried to bury me, but they didn't know I was a seed. And whatever is planted will be harvested. It will reap
That's right.
whatever's been planted. If we plant seeds based upon love, eventually they will come back to that space. And if they don't, it is by their choice that they haven't. And no matter how strong our energy is, no matter how much I believed in that young lady who wanted to be number one, my energy could support her energy. It couldn't replace it. Your vision and your efforts and your energy and your love and your passion and your instincts are there as a support mechanism. It cannot create the outcome. And a lot of times it's just like I would look around and I would say, why are they winning and we are not? Because I lost a championship by 1 point. And by losing by that 1 point, it made me go back and reassess everything I'd done. Because you're on the verge of that greatness. And you'll have those small windows of opportunities within your children in that moment. And don't look for that moment, allow that moment. I don't know if that makes sense. Sometimes we're looking for that moment and we assume this is a moment and we take it and we start dumping on them. And we expect because we've dumped, this is when it's about us, that they got it. But here's one of the things about coaching. You can work on the same technical change for months. The problem poor coaching is that they start attacking each problem. No, I get three things. I coach in threes because there's power in threes. It's not overwhelming. It's just three things. I'm going to find you have to parent and coach from your business perspective. Why put energy? Why put 90% of your energy and I'm going to get a 2% return? You go, no, that's bad business. I'm going to pick out three things that I know are going to be impactful and be consistent in those things if I want to see change. But the one thing you have to learn is everybody's learning curve is different. There's not going to be one conversation, one word, or one person that shifts them
That's right.
that you can pick out.
That's right.
But there is going to come a moment where someone plants a seed. When I was in junior high school, I lived in Pasadena. And it was during the time they just integrated. And the unrest, the riots, the violence. And so I was a great writer. And the white teacher had asked me to run for class president. Hey, I don't know what that is, but I'll do it. And I won five times. And they kept saying it wasn't by enough points. And so on the sixth time I lost, and they said that's I lost by less than I'd won by, and it was over. And a riot broke out at our school because the Hispanics and the Black students got very upset. And I got expelled. And it was a horrible time, but a great time because for the first time I watched my grandmother, who cleaned houses, speak up on my behalf. And I was like, whoa, that was powerful. But something else happened. I was in class because my grandmother told them, nah, I don't know what y'all doing down here, but my baby ain't starting no fights. And she need to go get this education. So y'all need to let her. Yes, ma'am. This is the white male principal who refused to allow me to be president. I watched my grandmother stand up to a white male for the first time, and I watched him acquiesce to her demands. But when I was in class one day, a white teacher who I'd never met before wrote me a letter, a note, handwritten note, and ironically, I still have it. today I still had that same note. And
Yeah.
she said how phenomenal my insight was for someone my age. And all she put on there is, you're going to be important on whatever campus you go and wherever you go. And I was like, no one's ever told me I was going to be somebody of importance. And I carried that.
Yes, it was planting a seed for you.
It planted a seed for me in the midst of, I
Chaos.
didn't pay it any attention then, but why did I keep the note? I was in this 7th grade. I still have the note from the 7th grade
That's
because it
powerful.
carried that much weight. No one picked that person to pour into me. The universe did.
Yes, God. I was gonna say God picked that person, but yeah, I that's
And so
beautiful.
sometimes we keep, excuse me, sometimes we keep trying to force the message in, and it's not on our time. That's why I always tell people it's not on our time. Our only responsibility is to be consistent in whatever it is we're doing. But
That's what you said to me, God.
if you really start chasing symptoms, you're never going to get to the point of origin of where it all began. And if you go in that space, you can't coach out of negativity. You can't coach out of guilt. You
That's right.
can't coach out of anger. You can't coach out of frustration. You have to coach out of determination.
And love, right?
You
Love.
have to be patiently, impatiently patient, and that's the consistency. And you have to find something within that person, within that moment of your greatest anger, a reason why you still care. Because if you don't care, then you're now just trying to get your way and you're going to get pushed back. And we love our children dearly. We just don't love what they always do and what they always become. And then we begin to question ourselves, what didn't I do? What did I do? Well, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Well, this is the reason why that happened. Everything happens for a great reason. It's a lesson for you. It's a lesson for them. Don't carry it as guilt, because guilt goes into the negativity. Don't carry the frustration of the behavior. Why can't they be more like all the other kids that she grew up with were going to college? So what did I assume? Oh, my child's going to college. My child is going to do sports.
Yeah.
No. That wasn't her choice. Wasn't her choice. And I had to be strong enough to allow space, one, for growth. Remember when you were growing up, you could go outside and play? Every time they step out of your house, what are you doing now? Concerned.
Yeah, saying a prayer.
It's a different time and a different generation. So you have to really begin to elevate your energy and your trust in your faith. And if I do start to get concerned, I just pick up the phone and say, hey, how you doing? You good? Where you at? I'm walking home. Okay, I'll holler at you later. Make sure you
Be safe.
be safe. And that's all I'll say. And
I
it
love you.
calms my energy. Yes, I always end with I love you. And now we got a game going on. Because I done said it so much, I made it a competition. I love you. I love you more. I love you more. And now we try to hang up the phone before the other person could tell us last.
Yeah.
We made it into a game, to a point now where I say that to everybody. Much love or love you. Have a blessed day. And I want to leave everyone in that space. Because I have to be in the space to give space. And I want to live in the space. So if you're going to be selfish about your energy space. And when you'll have moments, when you become overwhelmed. And then sometimes it feels like your back is up against the wall and you don't know what to do. And you know what I do in those moments, even as a coach? Because when we're strong, we weaken God. Because we take control. And when we're at our most vulnerable space, is when we allow God and the angels that surround us to work on our behalf. And once I figured that out, oh, it's on. Because I ain't out here in these streets by myself. I don't have to fix this by myself. And if I think of God not as man, but as a loving energy, because that's what God is, and we are of God, which means we are all the same, and we flourish off of a certain energy. In order for God to enter, sometimes we need to sit down and ask for help and say, I need to turn this over. Guide me into what I'm supposed to do. And sometimes I would stay up all night and I was like, God, I know the answer's there. There's an answer there. There's an answer there. And then when it comes, I would get so energetic that I would stay up all night waiting to coach the next day. And I'd walk on the track and I said, I got it. And the athlete would go, you got it? I said, I got it. It's over. It's over. I got it. And because I connected with the energy of their vision, I would come up with something so unorthodox that would fix the issue in a blink of an eye. And that's when I realized I wasn't coming up with it.
I
And what I've learned to do in parenting and in coaching is I've learned to be very efficient, meaning that don't waste energy and time. There are two things you cannot get back, energy and time. What type of energy are you putting behind your movements? Are you moving out of fear that they're going to get injured? Are you moving out of fear that they're going to get angry? Or are you moving out of the fear of fear? And the one thing that I wanted to do was to move from a place of love, move from a place of compassion. And compassion is different. And I grow into a place of empathy. Because with empathy means I understand what you're going through. Compassion means I feel what you're going through. Empathy means I feel you. I can have compassion for you, or I can feel you. And once I can feel you, I can help you. But in order to have empathy, you have to get out of the way. Have
And
you guys
relinquish
ever been
control.
talking to someone? Have you ever been talking to someone about something you're going through, and next thing you know, you don't know how it happened, but they've turned the whole conversation to about their moments. And next thing you know, you're back listening to somebody else and nobody's hearing you.
That's how our
That's what
children
it
feel a
feels like.
lot.
That's what they feel sometimes. They feel that this is about you. And if we're very honest, because we're asking them to be honest, and honesty doesn't mean critical, because we think being honest with ourselves means taking ownership
And
of their.
control, right? And control.
Well, if you take ownership, you're going to take control. But we take ownership even of their failure. Well, if I had have done, if I, it's not always that way. When you really think about, I pushed them to do this or I didn't do that. That's called life. You're learning the same way they are. I may not always admit when I'm wrong outwardly, but inwardly, you're not going to catch me sleeping on that again. I may say, oh, that wasn't the best choice. Oh, I knew I wasn't in a good place. And there are times when I've gone back and apologized, but I'm not going to apologize for the sake of you not being mad. I'm going to apologize because I made a mistake and I need to own it. And then there are times when it's not really a mistake, it's just I didn't know. And so I just change. I just grow. And the same way they're growing, I'm 66 years old.
Looking amazing.
and feeling pretty amazing. But I'm 66 years old and I'm still growing.
Yes.
The moment we think we know, we don't. And so
The moment
all
we
I can
think
tell.
we know, we don't. That just hit me because the moment we think we know, we don't. And the power of listening is
Yes.
so deep and not pushing.
Absolutely.
You said something in 2020 when you were here, when on Sunrise, you've been here a lot. And back then I was in the height of drama, I'll just say.
You was in the height of a, you was tussling. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Y'all were tussling.
And didn't do it, a lot of these things. And I don't say that with guilt or shame anymore. It's just such clarity. And there was such an amazing moment that happened when I apologized for, slam. It was the behavior of slamming the cake down was my frustration with him not doing what I wanted him to do and talking back. And I'd say, no marijuana in the house, he'd still be smoking, but I never paused to really explore. Why was he smoking marijuana? What was going on with him? And listen to him and talk with him and relinquishing that control and allowing God to work through us, which you shared back in 2020, finally really sunk in for me over time, but it really was relinquishing that control. You also said to acknowledge and change the narrative in our conversation. I'm looking at my notes and say, you are great, not you're going to be great or you're going to do great. No, you're great right now, despite some of these things that you might be doing, but it's not who you are necessarily. And I'm talking about purely the drugs or the jumping out of, and we could talk for hours. Before I just keep talking, let me just say, I want to make sure that if someone has a question, Coach Bev, that they can get it in because it's 9:55 Eastern. And if you have a question, you can come off of mute by hitting star six if you're on your phone, or if you want to type it into the chat, please do. But you were about to say something, and I also want to just say this. Coach Bev coaches real life. She coaches a lot of young people, not who are just athletes, but athletes and us all. So she coaches
If you have
teams.
a vision, if I coach visions. And that's why I tell people I'm more of a life strategist than I'm not a life coach, because I'm
Yes.
not here to delve into people's issues. I'm here to dive into your wishes. That's what's most powerful. And
And
along the way, we'll deal with issues only as to how they're impacting your wishes. That's the most important thing, is to stay centered on what we desire as opposed to what we don't like. Because have y'all ever tasted something and you said, oh, this is terrible, why don't you try this? Like, why I need to validate that that's nasty too? But we will do that. But I'm also very conscientious of the fact that, oh, this is good. Let me get this for so and so. I think they would enjoy this. And I do more of that than I do more of the other. And I no longer waste calories. I don't waste time. I don't waste energies. And I don't waste calories. If it ain't good, I ain't eating it. If you ain't good, I ain't sitting with you.
Interesting. I love that. Does anyone have any questions or comments for Coach Bev? It is almost the end of our hour together. This has been priceless, as always, for me personally. But I want to make sure that we open up the floor if anyone wants to share, or if you may have a challenge or a comment or a question. Do we have any this morning? It does not look like it. Okay.
But I hope that, and my prayer is that something that I've said has assisted you in moving forward. And that's my prayer every time. If I cannot do great things, at least let me do no harm.
Love
And
that.
so everything that I do is based upon that component of we just ain't that important
Right.
on this journey. And but we are everything on this journey. We are on this journey for us to grow. And in the process of our growth, we impact the journey of others.
Yes.
And
Okay,
that's the
Coach Bev, there
blessings
is a
of being
question.
you.
There's a question, and I want to just share. So if you want to, I see a hand up. Feel free to come off of mute, then I want to read a comment. But feel free, go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
Not really. No, it's a little warbled.
Oh, shucks, I'm driving. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, may not be the. You can. Okay. Good morning, Coach Beth. Good morning. I'm
Good
sure that I
morning.
speak for several of the parents on this line. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure I speak for several of the parents here, but the nugget that I heard from you that I will keep hearing and keep trying to implement with my 22-year-old son is that I need to allow his voice to be heard. And
Yes.
something he did about 2 years ago after he decided that 3 years of college was enough. He told his dad and I that he needed to silence our voices to be able to hear his own. And at the time he said it, I was in an uproar about it. I was sad. I was despondent. I was just like, what did I do as a mother? But the reality of it is, these children are so introspective these days than we ever were. And what he was saying to us was all that we were speaking to him was college, college, college. And because he had no idea what his dreams or goals were, he went along with it. But not until he found the courage to find his own voice that he had to silence ours to be able to hear his. So what he did was we pretty much had conversation about 8, 10 months, which was just kind of, hey, how you doing? How's life? No big questions. What'd you eat today? No big questions. And what God just intervened and gave my son a family to live with that allowed him the space to just breathe. One of his childhood best friends, dad was a preacher. Her mom was a registered nurse. And their daughter, who was my son's best friend, was in college. Long story short, he came to their home to stay for a month after his apartment ended in college to figure out what the next step was. Well, the apartment he had planned on getting with his Chipotle salary wasn't going to make it. So they took him in for a month, supposedly, which became 8 months. And what I had prayed to God was for resources. For someone to be able to be the voice that dad and I couldn't be. And in that 8 month time, he was able to work through his mental health, still working on it, but really be able to kind of hear his own voice without the interjection of his parents. However, the parents and I had a very solid understanding of the thoughts, which is allow him to work through this, give him a non-judgmental space, but also hold his feet accountable to whatever he decides to do. That was about 2.5 years
That's
ago.
coaching. That's coaching.
Yes. And the blessing is, I told David, my son, you can come home, but I need you to be doing something. I don't care what it is, doing something. Because after that one summer, he came home and he sat in my home and sucked up my air conditioner and smoked marijuana while my wife and I went out to work every day was not going to happen. So he came back home about 6 months ago because he's getting ready to move to Miami with his sisters. Long story short, he is now working at Nordstrom's as an assistant manager and he's getting promoted and they're going to relocate him to Miami to him to be with his other support, which are his two big sisters. So, for those of us parents on this line right now that are struggling in our kids hearing us, what you all said was crucial. Plant that seed. You don't preach at them, you allow them the space to be themselves without judgment, but you keep planting the seeds and you keep loving them and not hating the choices they make. And I am a witness that. You know, being mad and upset gets you through it. But once you just start loving the person and not the ways and the activities, you will get to God's grace. Because now David is, he's smoking marijuana a little bit, not very much, but he's not doing it in my home. He bought his first car. He got his driver's license finally at 22 years old in January. bought his first little hoopty car and realizes now with that hoopty what the value of money is, what a dollar can buy you, what $5 can buy you. And we are now seeing the light that David is now ready to go back to college on his own terms, working a job that makes sense to him, and allow his mental health to get where it needs to be. So I appreciate the Sunrise Project. I've been on this call for at least 3 years now, just hearing and being poured into and allowing my son to receive and be the beneficiary of the seeds that I planted. And God is just showing up so boldly. So I thank you, Coach Bell, for your seeds this morning and for Sunrise Project for being the answer to a lot of us in our pain and struggle.
Wow.
But
And I
our
tell you
kids will
why.
be okay. Our kids
Yes,
will
our kids
be
are
okay.
okay.
That's the blessing. They are, you're right. They are okay.
That's
We
right.
have to
Speak
release
everything in the
our
present.
thoughts. That's right. You're absolutely right. The kids are okay. We have to release the goals that we had for them and allow their journey to be their own.
I'd like to just do a slight correction. A lot of times it's not just about the goals, it's the image. I'm seeing more and more parents concerned about how the
Yes.
aesthetics look. And it's just not important. If you really think about it, they're not robbing people, they're not stealing, they're
That's
not
right.
trying to do harm, they're not. You know, there are so many, the damage that they're doing is to themselves and it's in their growth. And sometimes it's not the goals. We have to start to really, how is it making us look? How is it making me feel? And then if it feels bad, you have to evaluate, well, why do I feel bad? And it's
That's
always
right.
about how do I look to other people?
Right. That's right.
And if you take all of that out, you can work with it.
That's right.
You can do
You're
this.
absolutely right. And the blessing that I received from this is that I have found community. When I run into a sister friend, I haven't seen in a minute, and I'll say, "How's John? How's Brett doing?" They say, "Lord, keep in prayer." I know in that moment that they are on that same journey with me. And that
Yes.
turned on Sunrise Project because we have a circle. I mean, there's women going, I mean, and all of us are pretty much middle class Black women just trying, families trying to
Trying to
do
make
right
it.
by our children.
That's
And when
right.
I hear, when I
Absolutely.
hear, "Lord, just keep him in prayer. He's all right. He's home, but keep him in prayer." We have to drop that image because we have a thought of what our kids should be doing. And it's so incredibly off target. My 24-year-old daughter, 4.3 GPA from University of Miami, was on her doctorate program, is now deciding to be a Pilates teacher.
And I
That's
bet
awesome.
she's
She's happy.
changing lives.
She's paying her own bills. She's traveling. She's seeing the world. Who am I to think she's going to risk?
That's right.
My
I
daughter
want
wants
to
to be a
just.
teacher. I want to say one last thing on that.
Yes.
The one th we you say a lot that Sunrise is a safe space. It's a positive, loving space. That's more important than a safe space. You're pouring, you guys are coming in and getting filled up to prepare you for the week. So you're being filled with positivity. You're being filled with love. You're in a very comfortable environment where you don't have to put up any facades. That's why it's safe, but it's safe because it's loving.
That's
So
right.
please don't take that out. And it's a positive space. It's not a commiserating space.
Right.
And Kelly, you've been very intent on it not being a space of commiseration, but solution based.
Right.
How
So
do we move
that's right.
through this process and be of benefit to those that we love? Because we cannot be of benefit when we are hurt and when we are broken.
That's right. Well, I
And so
wanted to
it's a
say,
healing space.
yes, it's a healing space filled with love. And I want to have you back, Coach Bev. We've gotten incredible feedback, and we are out of time. So I know I want to be respectful of people's time. I just want to say, someone commented I'm in the middle of not knowing what to do with my son. Coach Bev, your words were very helpful with my continued processing of our situation. Another person wrote, thank you for all the moments in this group. My son starts law school on Monday after two suicide attempts. I let him go and he did him. That is powerful. And so many more positive feedback comments for you, Coach Bev. And
Thank you.
grateful for you to be here. Would love for you to come back sooner than later, but I'll call you about that because I know it's 6 a.m. out there. But really love you and appreciate you. And I want
Love you guys more, and so appreciated that you guys took the time to
to.
feel the words and not just hear.
Yes. And
Blessings.
Dr. Absolutely. And Dr. Vicki Johnson, speaking of blessings, will close us out with our prayer this Sunday. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Coach Bev. Thank you again, Kelly, and to everyone who's on the call this morning. Really, this whole call was a prayer. That's what it felt like to me. It was just filled with impartation from on high, truly. So all I have to say this morning is amen, because Coach Bev prayed this entire call and just imparted into us such wisdom. Such wisdom. I know many of us took a lot of notes. So I'll just end the call today with amen, Ashe. And so it is that every word that was spoken today, that we can take it and add it to our arsenal of tools to walk out this journey. And so timely during this Olympic season. So thank you, Coach Bev. Thank you, Kelly. And we look forward to seeing everyone again next Sunday. Here at 9 a.m.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. And Bev, how can people reach you if they want to follow up with you and possibly have you be one of their coaches? Is it, what's your email?
My email is bevinpursuit@aol.com. I know. Don't send nobody say nothing about my AOL.
You
It's
said you're
Bev.
66. That's all good.
It's BEVIN. PURSUIT at AOL.com. That's it.
Yes,
And it's
AOL.
been such a blessing and an honor to be on the call with you.
And I strongly
If you.
encourage people to reach out to Coach Bev. She has blessed me and my family for since I met you in 2007. Really incredible.
Walk in your truth, walk in your honesty, and embrace your journey.
Thank
You only
you.
get one.
That's right. Thank you, everybody. Have an incredible Sunday and a wonderful week. We'll see you next week here at Sunrise. Thank you so much.